Hello and welcome once again to the Word from My Hermitage. My name is Father Clint Honkamp, and I come to you today, as I do each day, from my hermitage in the Dominican Priory of St. Pius V here in Chicago, Illinois. Today, the Church celebrates the solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. Sometimes this feast is moved to the Sunday, but for our purposes here we'll celebrate it today, June 7th, 2026. Our passage today comes from the Gospel of St. John, where he writes, Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? There are moments in life when a meal becomes more than food. A family gathers around a hospital bed after days of uncertainty. Someone brings soup so no one really tastes. But somehow the sharing matters. Friends reunite after years apart and linger over bread and wine while stories rise like incense between them. A mother places food before a child who has wandered far from home, and without saying a word, forgiveness is offered through the meal itself. Human beings have always known that food can carry love. Meals can heal wounds, restore memory, and bind hearts together. And this is precisely why Jesus chose bread. On this solemnity of Corpus Christi, we do not celebrate an abstract doctrine. We celebrate a God who refuses to remain distant. We celebrate a Savior who feeds his people not merely with ideas or inspiration, but with himself. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. These words from the Gospel of John are astounding, even after centuries of hearing them. The crowds listening to Jesus were shocked because they understood exactly what he meant. He was not speaking symbolically in a soft, poetic way. People often prefer. He was offering something scandalously real. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And the people began to quarrel. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Their confusion is understandable. We often prefer a God who remains safely spiritual. Distant enough to admire, but not close enough to disrupt us. But Christianity has never been about distance. From the very beginning, God has desired communion. In the Garden of Eden, God walked with humanity. In the desert, God fed Israel with manna. In the Incarnation, God took flesh. And in the Eucharist, God becomes food. Not because he is less than God, but because divine love always longs for union. The Eucharist is not merely a reminder of Jesus. It is Jesus, living, present, given. This is difficult for modern people to grasp. Not because we are less intelligent than ancient believers, but because we have become suspicious of mystery. We trust what can be measured, dissected, analyzed, and explained. Yet the deepest realities of human life have always escaped measurement. Can you measure love? Can you weigh mercy? Can you quantify the ache of longing or the joy of forgiveness? The Eucharist belongs to this sacred realm where mystery is not the absence of truth, but the presence of a faith too deep for ordinary language. The contemplative tradition of the Church teaches us that God is often encountered not through control, but through surrender. The saints did not approach the Eucharist as a problem to solve, but as a presence to receive. St. Augustine of Hippo once wrote that when we receive ordinary bread, it becomes a part of us. But in Holy Communion, the opposite happens. We become what we receive. We are drawn into Christ Himself. And this changes everything. The Eucharist is not simply personal nourishment for private holiness. It transforms us into the body of Christ for the world. We cannot receive the bread of life while ignoring the hungry in our midst. We cannot drink from the cup of mercy while withholding mercy from others. The altar and the streets belong together. The saints understood this deeply. Saint Teresa of Calcutta spent hours before the Blessed Sacrament, before walking into the slums of Calcutta. When asked how she recognized Christ among the dying poor, she answered that she first learned to recognize him in the Eucharist. Contemplation became compassion. Adoration became action. Love received became love poured out. There's an old story about a priest carrying the Eucharist through a small village to bring communion to a dying man. As he walked, people along the road knelt in reverence. One little boy who did not understand the theology asked his mother, "Why is everyone kneeling?" The mother answered softly, "Because Jesus is passing by." That is Corpus Christi. Jesus passing by. Jesus entering ordinary streets. Jesus walking into ordinary suffering. Jesus feeding weary souls still wandering through deserts of loneliness, anxiety, bitterness, and fear. And perhaps that is where many people are today. Some come to Mass exhausted. Some come carrying grief no one else sees. Some come ashamed of old failures. Some come numb and uncertain. Some barely come at all, wondering if faith still lives somewhere beneath the ashes. And still Jesus says, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever." Notice here that he does not say, "Whoever is perfect." He simply says, "Whoever." The Eucharist is a food for pilgrims, not a reward for the flawless. Every time we come forward for communion, we stand with empty hands. We come hungry. And God does not despise our hunger. He meets us there. In fact, spiritual hunger may be one of the holiest things about us, because only the hungry seek bread. The tragedy of the spiritual life is not weakness, it is self-sufficiency. When we believe we no longer need God, the soul slowly starves. But when we come honestly, carrying our poverty, Christ feeds us with his own life. And slowly, mysteriously, we are changed. A little more patient, a little more forgiving, a little less afraid, a little more able to love. The transformation may seem small from day to day, but grace works quietly, like seeds beneath the soil or yeast within dough. The Eucharist forms Christ within us over time. That is why the Church gathers week after week around the altar, not out of habit alone, but because we cannot survive without this bread. The world offers many substitutes for meaning: achievement, distraction, consumption, endless noise. Yet beneath all of it remains a deeper hunger nothing else can satisfy. The human heart longs for communion with God. And today Jesus answers that longing with astonishing tenderness. He says, "I am the living bread." Not in theory, not ideology, not mere memory. Bread, broken and shared for the life of the world. So today, as we celebrate this beautiful solemnity, perhaps we are invited to approach the altar with renewed wonder. Not casually, not mechanically, but with the awe of people standing before love made visible. For every Mass is a miracle hidden in ordinary things. Bread, wine, human hands, ancient words, and somehow heaven touches earth again. Christ gives himself again. The Lord passes by again, and hungry souls are fed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, living bread, come down from heaven. You know the hunger hidden within every human heart. You see our weariness, our fears, our longing to be loved and made whole. In the Eucharist, you give us not merely comfort, but yourself. Teach us to approach your altar with reverence, gratitude, and trust. When we are weak, feed us. When we are wandering, gather us home. When we are broken, heal us through your mercy. May every communion draw us deeper into your heart and make us more faithful members of your body in the world. Help us recognize you in the poor, the forgotten, the lonely, and the suffering. And may the bread of heaven sustain us until the day we sit forever at the banquet of eternal life. Amen. If you found a blessing in this reflection today, I invite you to return here to my hermitage each and every day when we take a look at one of the passages from the Gospel that we shared at Mass and apply its deeper meaning to our spiritual lives. May God bless you today and keep you safe. Amen.